Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
We're spending a week looking at the Holy Spirit. And you might say, well, it's only 4 days because it's Sunday and Wednesday. But, you know, trust me, it's over a week because I've been focused on this for quite a while and did some prayer and fasting during the week as we were moving into this. And I encourage you to do that. If you're seeking some breakthrough and areas of God's presence in your life, then don't muck around. Don't just think you can go through life normally and expect supernatural results. You know, Jesus said that there was a need for prayer and fasting. He said, while the bridegroom is with you, then you don't be doing the prayer and fasting thing. You eat, drink, and be merry. But now that Jesus has gone to be with the Father, he said, you'll need to pray and fast. You'll need to seek and press in. And I'd encourage you this week, as we focus on the presence and power of God in our lives, that you take some time and you pray and you fast and you set yourself to seek the purpose and the presence of God. The scripture says that you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. I think some people take this too easily and go, oh, well, if God's going to bless me, then he'll bless me. If God's going to release his spirit in my life, he'll just do it. Well, sometimes he does that. But most of the time, there's a need for seeking and searching and pressing in. And so, Father, I pray today that you would help us this week just to really focus on your presence in our lives, the presence of your Holy Spirit, the need that we have to be led by you, be guided by you, and that you would move in our hearts and lives and help us just to step up to new levels of serving you and honoring you in our hearts, in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this week I've been thinking a lot about Jesus talking to the disciples in John 14, 15, and 16. I love those few chapters of John's Gospel because here is Jesus at the end of his earthly ministry speaking to the disciples and saying, I'm about to go, here's the stuff that you need to really think about. So the picture is you're about to leave. You're about to leave and he's going to go through the crucifixion, the resurrection, the whole works. And he's sitting down with them. He's saying, hey, guys, here's what we need to focus on. Now, part of the conversation takes place as they're sitting and sharing a meal. And then they go for a walk. And a part of the conversation takes place as they're walking along. But it all happens in this one evening where Jesus is speaking to them about the important things in life and the focus points of what they need to focus on as he's about to leave. And one of those, there's a few themes that go through John 14, 15, and 16. But one of the main ones is the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. So that we understand, the scripture teaches us that there's a triune God, a Trinity, and they are three persons in one, not three separate gods, but the same person, the same rather entity, if you like, but three persons. The God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one, but are then represented in different ways and have slight differences through the history of the world and the universe. And so I'm not going to get into a whole thing on the Trinity here today, but just understand that's where we're coming from. So we have God the Father, we have Jesus who is God and came as a man to live among us, and then we have the Holy Spirit, the very spirit and presence and person of God who ministers among us. And now today, if you are a Christian today, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are that because the Holy Spirit has touched your life. Because it's because the Holy Spirit has come into your life, and he is, like Jesus said, which we'll see in a minute, he is not only with you, but he is in you. And everything you experience of the presence of God is because of the Holy Spirit. And I know that this gets a bit out there sometimes, and this is the weirdest aspect of being a Christian, because now we're into the spiritual realm, which as good Westerners we find very difficult to deal with. If we're in an Eastern context, we wouldn't find as much difficulty at all. I was interested in listening to some people working among Muslims about going into the mosques. And some of the Asian Muslims, ex-Muslims who become believers, they say, I don't want to go back into the mosque. Because a lot of people, there's a lot of story about that. But anyway, they say, I don't want to go back into the mosque. And the reason is that they sense the demonic forces as they approach the mosque. And now, as a good Westerner, I don't sense those things. And also as a person who believes in the power and the person of Jesus Christ, I've actually never had any issue going into any of the temples and all that sort of stuff, because I know that greater is he that's in me than is in the world. But there's also an interesting thing. Because of my cultural background, I'm not as sensitive to the spirit realm as those who've lived among it. We live among it, but we're unaware of it. But they live among it, and they're aware of it. And there's one lady I was just hearing about, and she actually can tell that a mosque is around the corner, even if she doesn't know, because she senses the spiritual oppression as she approaches. Isn't that interesting? And we go, these things are just different religions. They got it's just man-made. No, don't you believe it. There's all kinds of spiritual stuff at work, which we are very unaware of as Western people and even as Western Christians. And so the Holy Spirit is that presence of God, that part of God, if you will, that moves into our hearts and moves into our lives and does the work of God in our lives. And Jesus is speaking about that. Let's have a look. I've waffled enough about that. John 14, verse 15. I'm glad no one said amen about the waffling. John 14 and verse 15. Jesus, to the disciples, he says, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." An advocate is someone who comes alongside to help you. It's kind of the best picture is probably the lawyer or the barrister in a court situation where you are lost and completely uncertain of what you're doing. You know what they say about someone who defends themselves in court? They have a fool for a lawyer. So that's the deal. It's kind of this situation where you're completely out of your depth, but someone who knows what they're doing, who knows exactly what's going on, comes alongside, stands with you, and helps you in that situation where you would be otherwise completely lost. That's probably the best picture of an advocate or a comforter in the original language. To help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Okay, so here's the separation between those who know Jesus and those who don't know Jesus. Those who really know Jesus, they know the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. We were talking in our men's life group during the week about our early experiences of the presence of God. And many were sharing about the emotional impact of the Holy Spirit as God comes and makes his presence felt in your life. And certainly for me, as a 13-year-old young man, as I first gave my life to Christ, there was an overwhelming sense of the presence of God that nobody in my church understood, because I came from a traditional Methodist church. Although if they went back further in their tradition, they would have found the great power of the Holy Spirit was the beginning of the Methodist movement. But anyway, leave that aside. In the traditional Methodist church I was in, nobody understood the working and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I just didn't tell anybody. I didn't have a clue what was going on, except that the power of God's Spirit was in my heart, in my life, and it was working in an amazing way, both emotionally and physically in my life. And I've experienced that throughout my Christian walk, as have many of you. And what separates a true Christian from someone who just believes things about God is that the Holy Spirit is at work within you. This is what Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about in John chapter 3. And he said, you need to be born again. And we need to be born again of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit awakening your spirit and coming in and being real and being alive inside your heart and life. And so Jesus comes to it in John 14. And he says, you will have someone. He has been with you and he will be in you. And by that he's describing, of course, the day of Pentecost and the book of Acts and the great coming of the power of the Holy Spirit on the disciples' lives. And so he said, there's all kinds of stuff going on here. I'm going away. The whole thing is going to change in a moment. But this is the most important thing to focus on. And he three or four times in this little chat, he comes back to the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And what I realize as you go through this, there's three different contexts in which Jesus actually talks to them about the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and they reflect the calling that you and I have as Christians and that the Holy Spirit will help us with if we will let him. So this morning I want us to look at those three contexts that Jesus raises the issue of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to understand and for me to understand that's how the Holy Spirit is meant to be working in our lives, helping us with these three areas. Now there's about four or five different highlights of the Holy Spirit in this discussion. But for me, they seem to fit into three of these contexts that Jesus is talking about. So let's go to those and let's try to understand. This is the function of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is how the Holy Spirit should be functioning to help you to live your Christian life. And what I find is many people experience the presence of God, and if they become a Christian, they become a Christian because the Holy Spirit draws them to God and convinces them of the reality of Jesus' love and grace. But then they think they're going to live the rest of their Christian life on their own. And so they don't seek or have a open heart or listen to the Spirit of God. And they try to live their life in a normal sort of way without reference to the power and the presence of God. And I want to encourage us all to be people who live our lives completely with reference to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives every moment of every day. It's the freakiest thought you could ever have in the Christian life, is to think that the Spirit of God is inside of me and you right now. That His Spirit is inside my spirit, inside my heart, and He is working all the time to try to get me and keep me on the track that God has got for me and to bring release and blessing into my life. And we put so many limitations and caps and things in the way and all kinds of attitudes and weird stuff goes on to try to cap off the work of God. And all the time the Holy Spirit's at work and so trying to stir up the things of God and the things of the Spirit. That's what He's doing. And always He's doing that. And when you there's two things go on. When you see a one-day video like that and the incredible change that can come about by Christian people loving non-Christian people, because that's what that's about, Christian people loving non-Christian people, there's two responses if they're positive. The one's an emotional response, that you could be anybody on the earth who didn't know God at all, but there would be an emotional response to other people's need. The image of God is still within us, and there's a desire to help other people, which only comes from God. Anyway, whole nother story. But the second one is there's a stirring of the Holy Spirit. And His Spirit is stirring you and stirring you. And you go, oh, I can't give into don't give into that because I'll empty out my bank account. Oh, I don't give into that because someone might have to get involved. No, the Holy Spirit is stirring, saying, come on, now this is the time. Go, go, go. And we're sort of sitting back going, oh, I'm not too sure. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's stirring our heart and stirring our spirit and saying, this is it. This is what you've got to do. And He's always doing that within us. So Jesus gives them these several sort of focus points. The first one, Jesus says in John 14 and verse 26, he says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, what's the context of this? Well, the context is found in the few verses before, and it's also found in verse 15. And the context of this statement is the need for these disciples to keep the commands of Jesus. In verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commands. In verse 23, Jesus replied, anyone who knows me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. What He's saying to them is if anybody loves God, he will keep the commands that God has given. And so He will keep, whether it be the Ten Commandments, whether it be the command to love your neighbor, whether it be the command to make disciples of the nations. But there's all these teachings, these commands that He has given to you. And I don't know about you, but I know for me, one of the desires of my life is to actually do what God says to do. Yeah. To live my life according to the teaching and the directions of God, found in His Word. And I want to live my life that way. I want to understand the Word of God. I want to understand what Jesus is teaching. I want to make sure that I'm living my life that way. And so Jesus creates that context. And he says, righto, guys, you need to live your life according to the Word of God, according to the commands and the teachings that I've given you. Now, we have all Jesus stuff, a lot of Jesus stuff written down, but they didn't. In fact, they were going to have to write it all. So could you imagine being with someone for 3 years and they're teaching you every day, every day, every day, every day. And then at the end of that 3 years, they say to you, you know what? If you love me, you're going to have to keep everything I've taught you. And not only that, but you're going to actually write the New Testament scriptures so that the whole of the next 2,000 years of and generations of believers, so that they can understand what I've taught you. Now, I don't know about, maybe you think you're pretty smart. Maybe you think your memory's pretty good. But I'm finding as I get along that, you know, things fade. And if someone had, I'd spent 3 years with someone every day, and I don't know, but if I was one of the disciples at this point in time, I'd be going, he says, keep my commandments. I'm going, well, I'm going to be struggling to remember what the commandments are, let alone have the ability and, you know, the motivation and the all that to actually do it. So I'm going to struggle on two counts. So I'm going to struggle on the count of I can't remember, and I'm going to struggle on the count of I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And so in that context, Jesus says to them, it's okay, don't panic. Because you'd better believe they were panicking. He said, don't panic, it's okay, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And he's going to remind you, he's going to tell you all the things. He's going to remind you everything I said, and he's going to teach you, and he's going to let you understand the truth and how to live that out. So what I want to say to you is this. Every day, as you read the Bible, as you read what the scriptures are saying, the Holy Spirit will come and he will teach you if you'll let him. This is the difference between someone who knows about the Bible and someone who God speaks to through the Bible. That's the difference. You can approach the Bible academically. And you could have all the understanding in the world. You could go to one of our life groups and you could say, well, the writer of the book of Hebrews. We're not sure who exactly that is. There's this theory and that theory and the other theory. And in the original language, the key elements of that message are yada, 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 yada. And you could go through all of that, but you know what? It could be your heart could be completely untouched. Yeah. Completely untouched. Because you know it up here, but you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to bring it here. Yeah. And that's what Jesus is saying to them. He's saying, you know, you've got to live the Christian life. You're going to have to live the things that I've been teaching. You're going to have to live this out. And they go, wow, how are we going to live like Jesus? How are we going to? He's awesome and we're not real good. How are we going to do that? And he says, don't panic. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And he's going to teach you and he's going to remind you. And you know what? Those things that you struggle with, those things that are a wrestle for you in your life, he will teach you about those things and then he will remind you. Yeah. And when you are starting to encounter that area of temptation, that struggle, that fear, that challenge that you have, you know what the Holy Spirit, remember the Holy Spirit's always at work inside you. You know what he's going to be doing? He's going to be trying to remind you. Yeah. He's going to be trying to remind you. He's going to remind you about the Word of God. He's going to say, do you remember what Jesus said? Do you remember what the writers of the New Testament, you remember what happened in the Old Testament? He'll be speaking to you if you'll open your heart to it. And every circumstance you face in your marriage, in your family, in your work life, in your personal life, every area, the Holy Spirit will be stirring and reminding and trying to teach you and remind you about the things of God. That's what Jesus is saying to these guys right there. The second area, and just by the way, verse 27, he talks about peace. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. You know, it's no accident that he talks about peace immediately after talking about the Holy Spirit teaching them. Because if you will live your life according to the teaching that the Holy Spirit brings into your life, you'll have a lot more peace than you're going to have any other way. There's no accident. Jesus is not silly. He knows what he's doing as he orders these things and he's speaking to them the things that are going to help them in life. The second thing, and the context here is the corrupt world that they're going to live in and the drama is going to come. And in John 15, verse 26, he actually says to them, he says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So he says to them, you've got a calling. You remember the scriptures. He says, be witnesses to me. So he says, you've got to be witnesses to me. You've got to tell other people about me. Now, I know that that produces probably the most fear in most Christians. If I said to you today that when you leave this place, you have to go down the road and around the corner down to the new Coles shopping center down here, and you've got to go in there, and the first six people that you have to speak to, that's the agent. Anyway, the first five people that you meet with, you have to tell them that you are a follower of Jesus and ask them what have they done with what Jesus has done for them. Now, all of you, most of you, a couple of you would probably get excited by that, but most of you would go, I'm out of here. I'm never coming back to that church again the rest of my life. Am I right? I mean, like if I said we're packing up right now and we're all going to grab your travel buddy, don't let him run away, and we're going to go down to the street here and the first five people we meet, we're going to tell them we are Christians. We come from City Life Church around the corner and we want to know what you've done with Jesus. Now, most of you would not be too excited by that prospect. And would perhaps have some concern in your heart. So I'm trying to get you into the context that Jesus is talking about here. Because if you go back into the earlier part of the chapter there, verse 18 and onwards, he says to them, he says that the world hates you. Keep in mind that it hated me first. If it persecutes you, it's going to and so on and so forth. He tells them, you are going to be persecuted. I think this is how we should now preach the gospel from now on. When you're sharing about Jesus with people, the first thing you should say is, I want to introduce you to a life where people will hate you and you will be persecuted and probably killed if you accept what I'm selling you today, okay? What I'm telling you today. So if you buy this vacuum cleaner, then understand that you're going to have heaps of dirt in your house and people are going to come around and they're going to dump dirt all over the place. And in the end, the neighbors around you are going to come in here and destroy this vacuum cleaner. But I'd like to sell it to you today for $500. Would you like to buy it? No, I don't think many people are going to buy that vacuum cleaner, all right? And so, because we're not selling anything. And Jesus is not selling anything. He's just telling them the truth. He's saying, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Because the things of this world are at enmity or are against the things of God. And if you're living your life truly representing the purpose and the value and the love and the grace of God, then there are going to be people who are going to hate you for it. Now, we don't experience much of that because we're very quiet about our faith. And we don't sort of confront a lot of that in our culture. But in most of the cultures in the world today where most Christians are, persecution is common. We don't understand that because we live cushy in a post-Christian world where everybody's tolerated, so we don't get persecuted, all right? That's the situation. But in most of the world where the church is going forward strongly, persecution is common. People are persecuted by their family. They're persecuted by their community. If they become a Christian, they are rejected out of hand. And Jesus is speaking to a group of guys who were in a Jewish context, and the moment that they stood up and said, Jesus is the Messiah, people wanted to kill them. Yeah. That's the context that he's talking in. And he says, in that context, what would you say? If you were going to talk about the comforting presence of God to a group of people who are about to have to stand up in the midst of a community that wanted to kill them, what would you say? I think I would say, when you are persecuted, when you're in trouble, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to make you feel better. He's going to give you some encouragement. Is that what Jesus says to them? No. He says, you know what? When you stand up in the midst of that community that wants to kill you for the message that you're about to bring, guess what? The Holy Spirit is going to testify with you. It's awesome. The Holy Spirit is going to stand with you. And he's going to move into the hearts of those that you're speaking to. And yes, some of you will be killed and some of you will be beaten up and you'll be persecuted. But you know what? My Spirit is going to be with you, testifying with you every step of the way. That's how Jesus comforts people. We like to get the nice little hugs and pats and it'll be okay, Bobby, it's all right. But Jesus says, I'm going to stand with you. You've got to engage the most challenging thing of your life, and I'm going to stand there with you. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to be going before you, and I'm going to be actually doing the work, but you're going to come along behind and do the testifying. He says, and this is where we come to the verse, In verse 8 is probably the most helpful. If we come down there, he says, when he comes, so he says the Holy Spirit's going to testify. And then verse 8 of chapter 16, he says, when he comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he will prove the world to be in the wrong. Some verses will say convict or convince about sin, righteousness, and judgment. I'm amazed by those three things that are the function of the Holy Spirit. So remember the context. The context is a group of men and then women who are going to have to stand in a community that is wanting to kill them for the message that they're bringing. And then he says, when you make that stand, understand that the Holy Spirit is at work. So when you have that opportunity, not the five unknown people down the road, but when you have that opportunity in your family or in your workplace amongst those who don't know God, when you feel the Holy Spirit saying, hey, talk to this person, because he will be saying that. He'll say, talk to this person, share your heart, why don't you pray for that person, offer to pray for them. When he's stirring that in your heart and you're getting all fearful, then Jesus says, understand something. The Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is at work. And he's convicting them or convincing them of three things. In verse 9, he says, I'll convince them of sin because they don't believe in me. I'm always interested that the greatest sin that someone can commit is not to believe in Jesus. We're all sinners. Every one of us. We're all capable of the worst things. We were talking last night with some people about some of the persecution, and, or rather the wars and so on in the Balkans, and some of the origins of that. And Joe was giving us a bit of insight because he understands that stuff. And I just was thinking as we were talking, you know, in every culture, in every community, if you take the restraints off, if you take the laws off, if you take the restraints off, then people will do horrible things to each other. The sin nature is right there. It's just under the surface. And everybody is capable of the worst things in life. Everybody. We're all capable of that. But Jesus doesn't say that that's the reason for this issue about sin. He says the Holy Spirit needs to convict them of their sin because they don't believe in me. They don't believe in me. The greatest sin you can do, apart from, Jesus said blaspheming the Holy Spirit was a bit of a bother, and so we can look at that at some point, but in this context he said the worst thing they can do is not believe in me. Now anybody who has children can understand that quite readily. If your child sacrifices for somebody else and that person disdains that sacrifice, then you just want to punch him in the head. I mean, we understand that. We understand the motivation of a parent that says, if you don't accept what my son or daughter has done for you, then you're a mongrel. And you know, we understand that. We try to make it all spiritual and all that, but we understand that. And God is saying, if you reject Jesus, I will reject you. Make no mistake, I'm not just some cuddly godfather in the sky. If you reject my son and what he's done for you, I will reject you. And that's what the Holy Spirit's going to convict people of, is their attitude towards Jesus. The second thing he says he'll convince them about righteousness because I'm not with you anymore. That's amazing. He says, because you can't see me, you can't tell what righteousness is. Because we think we're pretty good, don't we? Think we're pretty good? Luke and Kia have painted their new townhouse up here in Corrimal, and they've painted it white. But the question is, which white? And the ceiling was white, but now the walls are whiter. So is that ceiling now white or not white? And if you go to, you know, the paint shop and you say, I want to paint something white, they'll say, which white? Which white do you want to paint? And so you'll get one white and it'll look white. And then you get another white. You say, that's not white. That's white. You go, I'm in trouble now. And then it'll be a third white. That's whiter than all those whites. What's going on? Now, we think that we're white. And when Jesus shows up, we say, I'm not white. I'm a mess. And the truth is, you know, we're not white at all. We're all shades of gray and dark and horrible. And when Jesus shows up and the real light shines, everything's dark. And Jesus says, the Holy Spirit's going to come and going to convict people of righteousness because they look at you and they go, yeah, you're a pretty good person and maybe you might be a slightly better person than me, but I'm not too bad. But when they really see Jesus, they go, I haven't got a hope. I haven't got a hope. And that's what needs to happen to all of us. And he says, I'll convict you, the Holy Spirit rather, will convict you of judgment because the devil stands condemned. And I need to say to you that that judgment has already been passed. When the Bible talks about the end time judgment and all that sort of stuff, you know, some people think that, oh yeah, well, God's going to weigh it all up and it's going to, we'll see how we go. No. The end time judgment, when you go to meet with God, the judgment's already been made. It's only a matter of then enacting that judgment. And so he says the Holy Spirit will convict of judgment because condemnation is already there. And you notice he says that condemnation is there for the devil, the evil one, the spirit that has risen up against God and tried to lead everybody astray. God's intention was never to condemn men and women. The condemnation is for the devil. But we, when we follow the devil, the world, the anti-God stuff, we bring ourselves into that same condemnation. And Jesus says, I want you to be free of that. So understand something. When you came to know God, it was only because the Holy Spirit moved in your life. That's the only reason. There's nothing good about you or me, nothing inherent in us that made us somehow think one day, oh, I think I'll give my life to God because I'm a good person. No. The Holy Spirit came and convinced you of your sin because you were rejecting Jesus, your lack of righteousness because you're not as good as you think you are, and the condemnation that is justly yours unless you receive the grace and forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. And now I want you to understand the same process is at work in those that you were to share with. And so Jesus says you're in this persecuting world where the kingdom of God confronts the kingdom of darkness and you will be caught in the mesh of that. But understand, my spirit goes before you and prepares the way. And I'm going to convict people. And you are going to share with people and some of them are going to go, that's right. And have you ever been surprised, because I know I have, when I've shared the simple gospel with somebody, the message of Jesus Christ, and they've said, oh, that's right. And you go, why did they believe that? Why did I believe that? Yes, I can line up all the history and the evidence and all that sort of stuff, but you and I, we know it's not just about history and evidence. There's a moving of the Holy Spirit in the heart of a person. And I tell you what, we need to believe for that. We need to pray for that. We need to look for that in all the people around about us. The last thing that he said, and I won't go into it in any depth, but in John 16 and verse 13, he said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth and reveal the things that are to come. The context of this is that he had a lot more to say to them. I feel like that this morning. He says, I have a lot more to say to you, but you can't handle it. You can't cope with it. But don't worry, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Think of it this way. They had a 3-year apprenticeship, and then they had to have 30 plus years of serving God. They had to form the church where there was no church. They had to preach the gospel and make sure that the message of Jesus stayed pure. They had to send people out to do the work of God. They had to establish, you know, some sort of governance in the church. And you know what? Jesus hadn't spoken about any of that stuff. And they didn't have a clue what they were going to do. But he said, don't worry. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all that you need to know. And he'll warn you about the things that are to come. He'll tell you what's happening. And I tell you now, if you'll open your heart to the Holy Spirit, not only will he remind you and teach you of the commands of God, not only will he work with you in doing what God has called you to do in testifying about Jesus, but he will also guide you into everything that God's got for you. What I notice is, though, that most of us live out of ourselves, not out of the Spirit. Because we fall back into what our culture tells us is the way we should live. Rational thinking, planning, instead of responsiveness to the Holy Spirit. And I want us this week to think more about responsiveness to the Holy Spirit. Amen? The team would come. We're going to have a nice little song to finish. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you and praise you for your goodness and your grace towards us. I thank you, Father, for the presence of your Holy Spirit. As we look at your word, as we open our hearts, Lord, you begin to speak to us, and we are very aware that we live much of our lives without reference to you. Even though we've given our lives to you, even though we've accepted you, we've received your forgiveness, but we are really aware that we live much of our lives just being led by ourselves rather than by your Spirit. And what you've put in my heart for this week for us is that we open ourselves more and more to be led by your Spirit. That the leading and the guiding of your Holy Spirit becomes more real to us than anything else in this life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we stand together as we pray this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Lord, I know that your Holy Spirit is here with us, but we do open our hearts to you. And Lord, I pray these next few days that all of us would become more aware of the presence and the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. Not just to do the little things and get over the hurts and whatever else, but to actually engage with the purpose you have for us. That we would begin and increasingly listen to you, what you've got to say, your guiding, your leading, your teaching. That we would put aside all of our preconceived ideas. Help us and lead us into your truth. That you'd move into our hearts, into our spirits. Many of you have got a real desire to be led by the Holy Spirit, and you're not very good at it. There's a lot of stuff gets in the way. If you open your heart right now, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to encourage you over the next few days to be listening more to the Holy Spirit. Wednesday night, we're going to focus more in on that and releasing that work and power of the Holy Spirit. You need to come and be part of that as well. Right now, you're believing a lot of things and you know, you're living life and you're doing quite well, but you know you're not really being led by the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day basis. So open your heart, let God begin to move. Father, Lord, we want to just break out of just normal life. We just want to break out of the way that we live normally and naturally. And we want to open our hearts to your Holy Spirit and the leading of your Holy Spirit. And I pray for myself and for all of us here today, particularly those who right now are really focused and got their heart open. Lord, that you would lead us in the next few days, that you begin to help us step into a new way of living, where we're led by your Spirit more and more. We become more aware of your prompting and your guiding, more aware of all the things that you want to release in our hearts, in our lives. We open ourselves to it today. We ask for your leading. We ask for your guiding in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Those who don't know God today, then you need the presence of God in your life. You need God's forgiveness. You've realized today that you are a sinner. You are separated from God and you need him. You need him to forgive you. You need him to come into your life. And you need that relationship with God to be real and not just some sort of belief system. I want to pray with you today that you can make that step of committing your life to God and receiving his forgiveness and his grace. And we're all going to pray together. You do this. You pray this way if you want to make that real today. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We have a booklet. It's called Becoming a Friend of Jesus. Because, you know, the Christian life is actually about walking with him and not just believing stuff about him. And becoming a friend of Jesus is really important. He said to his disciples, you're not my servants anymore. I call you my friends because you know what I'm doing and I'm talking to you man to man, face to face. And that's what God wants to do in your life, is to actually walk with you. And this will help you to do that. So grab the person who brought you today or grab one of our hosts at the back there, welcoming team, and they'll help you with that and help you to connect up. Amen. Spend some time the next few days just really open to the Spirit and the presence of God. Come along on Wednesday night with some expectation that God will move in your heart and help you to lift some levels in really living your life according to his Spirit rather than the natural things of life. I know that this is a big battle in our lives. We so easily fall back to the natural. And I want us to step up. And I think that's what Jesus wanted for his disciples, is to step up and live life in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from City Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.